Always welcome on the programme now, Fintan Lawler from Lawler Partners. How are you, Fintan? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Noel. How are you keeping?
Not too bad at all. Still nice out there, I imagine, is it?
It's pleasant enough. The sun isn't really breaking through, but hopefully it'll come out Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, it's still warm, though. Still warm. Okay, we're going to be talking about wills today. The first question I'll ask you, how often should people update on their will? If you made a will, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago, how often should they do it?
Well, it depends really on the change of circumstance. I'd recommend that people review it every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily need to amend it, but just reflect on what is in their will in the last 3 years. Has there been any change? Is there any change in their circumstances, their family, etc.? And if there is, it may require that there will be changed. But it should be reviewed on an ongoing basis. I explained before, Noel, that we did have a client here who came in to make a will a number of years ago. And at that stage, the threshold for a child to inherit from a parent was approximately €450,000. I can't remember the exact figure. Mm-hmm. It was approximately that level of money. And the tax we paid after that was 20%. So if we take somebody with an estate of €500,000 with one child, they're quite happy that their child is exempt up to €450,000. They will be paying tax on the additional 50, but the tax be 20%, which would be €12,500.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy enough in that knowledge that the revenue commissioners aren't going to get any more than €12,500 out of their estate. What happened after the collapse came is that the tax rate went from 20% to 33%, and the threshold was reduced to under €300,000. So now they have a circumstance that if that same will is in existence with the same set of circumstances as in one child,
mm-hmm.
that when that person passes away, the threshold was now down to €300,000. The estate is worth €500,000, which means that there's €200,000 that can be taxed, and the tax rate is now 33%, which means that they're now going to pay €66,000 in tax. So that's a person who's made their will, they've gone to the trouble of getting the advice, they're satisfied in the knowledge that they've gone to the professionals,
mm-hmm.
they believe the tax to be paid will be €12,500, and due to a change in circumstances outside of their control,
mm-hmm.
the tax bill that they're actually going to have to meet when they pass out of this world is €66,000.
Wow. I suppose you should look upon it as well. A lot of people don't, but I mean, when people say insure, say the house, for instance, maybe they insured it 30 years ago and the renewal notice comes in, they just keep paying it, but they don't realise how much they've put into it over those 30 years. And if anything drastic was to happen, that they wouldn't get the value of what, the contents of what they've insured it for. I suppose that's a lame way of comparing it. But
no, I think it's a very good way of comparing it. Noel, insofar as if you do have contents insurance on your house at €1,500 and you put that in place, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and the kids are young,
mm-hmm.
and the kids have got a little bit older now, and they're after buying expensive bikes and laptops and iPads and Xboxes and XYZ,
mm-hmm.
and the house is ransacked. Now, clearly the contents of €1,500 is simply not going to cover, you know, the contents of the house that are being stolen. If the bike is €300 or €400 and there's a couple of bikes there, that will use that up before you start. So I think it's a very good example to people that just to continually reflect on everything that they're doing. I know that some people are very good and very thorough in relation to looking at their service providers in respect of whether there's a better deal out there by way of changing to a new car insurance,
mm.
or changing their mortgage over, or changing their service provider for electricity or gas or whatever the case may be, with a view to saving money. So they should be looking at making a will in the same context as that, going, can I save money? Should I save money? If anything were to happen to me this weekend, what is the state of my affairs? What, mm-hmm. what state are they in? Are they in a good state? Or have I not really considered them over the last 3 or 5 years, or maybe the last 7 or 10 years? And I mean, I think if they reflect on it, particularly with the changing circumstances of separation and divorce and people getting married or people breaking up, the facts are obviously going to change on an ongoing basis, and they need to review their will because of that on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I suppose as well, people sort of have this idea in their head, especially if they are youngish, and when I say young, 30 or 40 even, because I've asked a lot of people, you know, over the years from talking to you, I know we have different questions on sometimes, but the will seem to always come up, and when you ask a lot of people, the amount of people that said, oh no, I haven't, but I will be, and you sort of say to them, I think they have a fatalistic idea in their head that if you make a will, they're going to die. But the amount of people that don't make a will is amazing.
Yeah, I think they should give themselves a deadline, be it a 20-year wedding anniversary or mm-hmm. their birthday or before they go on holidays or within a month of when they come back on holidays or before the kids go back to school on the 1st of September or before Halloween or whatever the date is, but they should give themselves a deadline to say, let's get that will done. Because like yourself, Noel, I keep bumping into people socially or in business and mm-hmm. you know, I'm glad I bumped into you now because it's been on my mind. Do you remember I mentioned that will to you? And
yeah.
I do. I said, you know, I'm going to talk to herself, and I'll definitely get into you now in the next week or two. And I said, absolutely, no problem. And I said, but don't put it on the long finger.
Yeah,
it gives you great peace of mind to do a will, because in a conjunction with doing the will, Noel, what will happen is I'll turn around and I'll use you as an example, and I said, that's great, Noel, that you want to make your will. Now, in order to help your executors, who will be sorting out your affairs when you're not here, and just to remind the listeners, the executors are the people who are nominated in the will to deal with your affairs, to extract your grant of probate, to deal with the bank or the lending institutions and all of that sort of stuff. So I'd say in order to help your executors, Noel, you need to give them a roadmap. So what I need you to do is I need you to write down a list of your assets and then a list of your liabilities. Now, when I say a list of your assets, I don't want to know how much money you have in the AIB bank in Coolock Village. Mm-hmm. However, I just want to know that there is an account there, that there's a post office account down the road, that there's a few shares in Vodafone, mm-hmm. that you have another account that you opened a number of years ago in Bank of Ireland out in Swords, and there's the account number for that. And that's a roadmap for the executors, but they have a list then of your assets, and then they also have a list of any liabilities or monies owed or car loans or bits and pieces, so that if something were to happen, that they say, okay, well, I say, well, this is where we were in 2018. Mm-hmm. That gives you a starting point.
Okay, well, you've just answered, just interrupting you there, Finda, because you've just answered the first question there, because a lot of people are very precious about their information, and they're saying how much information you have to give to a solicitor. Talking to someone a good while ago, asking them, and they said they got a form, and it was quite explicit in how, you know, everything. But it's just a general idea of exactly where your money is or where your assets are. It doesn't have to be money, and that's, it's just a general outline. There's nothing specific has to be stated. That's a fair comment.
I'd normally say to them, Noel, that they're not actually giving me the information. They're making the information available to their spouse or their next of kin mm-hmm. or their son or their daughter in the event that something happens to them, that they won't arrive into my office or another solicitor's office.
No, I'm not talking about the solicitor per se.
Know,
I'm talking about being specific.
Rep,
yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, the executor or the pair rep are going to arrive in going, I don't know where to start. I don't know where this fella had any bank accounts. I don't know where he had any shares. I don't know, does he have a post office account, a credit union? I don't know. So really what I'm doing when I send out the questionnaire is I'm giving that to the executor or the pair rep, and I'll say, listen, that was the position in June 2018. That sets out the details. And it will have details. It'll have name and address and a telephone number and a date of birth, and it'll need a PPS number. And then you're going to say, okay, is there any beneficiaries that you want to look after? And, you know, godchildren or, you know, mm-hmm. special neighbours, so you can list them down there. And then I need to know whether you have any bank accounts. I don't want to know what's in the bank account. It's irrelevant. But where you have any bank accounts, any post office accounts, any credit union accounts, any shares, any particular jewellery or memorabilia that you'd like to go to, anybody in particular, mm-hmm. any antiques or any kind of personal affection in your house that you'd like somebody else to have? Do you have a car? What's the value of the car? Would you like the car to go to anybody? So when they get the questionnaire, it is going to have personal details, then mm-hmm. it's going to have asset details, and then it's going to have liabilities.
Yeah, I suppose it's...
And
it's
then it's going to have any additional wishes or any other particular wishes. But as I say, the document helps to prepare a will, but it's really been left for the people who are being left behind to tidy up one's affairs, that they have documentation, that they have a starting point in relation to somebody's affairs.
Yeah, because if you've left your money, just to clarify something, Finn, if you've left your money somewhere, whether it's in a credit union or, as you said, the post office or something, and you don't specify that you have money in this place or wherever it is, shares, that will just go, they don't come looking for you.
Well, in our office, we generally write out to a number of the financial institutions and credit unions and post office just to check. But yeah, it could get missed.
Mm-hmm.
It could get missed,
okay.
Particularly if somebody was operating under the name of T.J. Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this listener writes into a post office or a bank going, you know, Timothy John Ryan, do you have any accounts held in this name? And they write back, going, no, we don't. Whereas if you can turn around and say, we know that TJ Ryan had an account with you in June 2018 when he made his will, and it was account number 217 so-so-so, can you please update us as to what is the position with that account at this time? Now, the bank will write back and say, unfortunately, that account got closed in 2026 and the money was paid out. Or they'll write back and say, well, there's now 17 or 18,000 euros in the account, or whatever the case may be. But that's the purpose of giving the solicitor the information, that you're actually giving it to your executors or your pair reps when you die.
Okay.
That will be kept with the will. It'll be kept private. It won't be opened. Nobody will see it.
Okay, the two
when
things...
When you open up the will, you'll say, that's what was there in 2018 when you made the will.
Okay, so two things. Make a will, first of all, and then update it every few years. Okay.
Just to finish with that note.
Sorry,
go
on.
Making it a will, it does allow people to get a wee bit of spring cleaning, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
It allows them to get their house in order, that they themselves can document, okay, so there's my four bank accounts that I have. Okay. Oh, yeah, the property title lease, says, where are those deeds? Well, we paid off that mortgage 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that solicitor still there, or is he gone? Or did we ever take them out of the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Or did we leave them in the bank? Or are they in the attic? Or are they not in the attic? Or maybe they're in that box that we use at the top of the wardrobe,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're not. But so it prompts these questions of the person in relation to assets, liabilities, title deeds to the bank, godchildren, should they be looked after, should they not be looked after, charities of your choice. A lot of people are very good at the homeless at the moment now, particularly with the Caption Day Centre or Focus Ireland or Simon or whatever the case may be. But it allows people to say, you know something, I won't do a Meals on Wheels or their soup run or whatever, I'm going to donate 1,000 euros to them now just to support them now when I go. So it prompts, as I say, it's very much a house clearing type of exercise. It's a spring cleaning type of exercise. It allows them to put some shape and order on their affairs. Even if they don't make the will, they've still put some shape or order on their affairs.
Okay, it's a good way of, as you said,
they should make the will.
It's a good way of housekeeping, because it gives into your head exactly what you have. Okay, one of the questions is, okay, I'll use myself as an example. If I die tomorrow and I made a will and I didn't say I bought the house in my name and I didn't put my wife's name on it and then I pop my clogs, what way is she fixed as far as the house is concerned if there's children involved?
So you bought the house in your sole name, her name never went onto the house?
Yeah, say I met her, you know, and I already had the house. It's, you know, a lot of people now marry and... in her 30s and 40s, and you meet someone, you already have your house, she moves in, you get married, blah blah, and you never just say, well, I'll put your name down as on the house, register you, and then I die young and we've had three kids, for instance. So what way are we with a will then? If I've made a will,
Have you made a will?
Yeah, I've made a will, but I've made a will, yeah.
Yeah. You made a will, and what have you left her in the will?
I just, in general, like, if I leave the house to her, but if I just sort of leave a loose will, or let's say I haven't made a will, then that's the best way of putting the question, I suppose. It's a very vague question that came in. It says, if the husband and spouse doesn't specify in the will who the house is registered, and the spouse is not registered, it could be husband or wife, one of them just owned the house, they didn't make a will, and they have kids. Maybe I'm complicating it, am I?
No, well, I think, first of all, they should get proper professional advice, but let's try and deal with it. So, the amount of surviving spouse, the surviving spouse has a legal right share, if they're married. They have a legal right share, and that depends on two factors. One, whether or not there's a valid will, and two, whether or not the deceased spouse has any children.
Mm-hmm.
So, the spouse is entitled to the whole of the estate if there is no will, or if the will is invalid, and there's no children or grandchildren.
Well, let's say there is children. I think that was the point of the question.
Well, then the spouse is entitled to... give me one second. I'm not sure. Is it one-third? You're entitled to two-thirds if there's no valid will.
Okay.
It's two-third, one-third split if it's intestacy. So that means if there isn't a valid will, the spouse will get two-thirds of the estate and the children will get one-third between them.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So
if there is a valid will, the spouse gets a half of the estate if there's no children or grandchildren.
Okay.
And they get a third of the estate if there is a valid will and children.
Okay.
That's very complicated, and I know that
that's
difficult for people to comprehend.
Yeah, but
there are certain rules in relation to, first of all, is there a spouse? Second of all, is there a valid will? Thirdly, is there children or not children? And then you have a situation, is there a valid will or is there not a valid will?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps them, but I'm not being smart, Noel. If they have a concern, and a genuine concern, they need to get professional advice on it. It's not appropriate for them to be taking advice on the radio or over the phone.
Okay.
But it's a very good question, but there are certain rules set out in the Succession Act of 1965.
Well, I tell you, Fintan, the next one is pretty similar, I have to say, just looking at it. My wife hasn't made a will. We four children. If I predecease her, how will my estate be shared out? That's a tricky
one. So his wife hasn't made a will.
Yeah.
They have four children.
Yeah.
If he predeceases her,
how will the estate be shared? It's the same type of question, really, isn't it?
It's the same type of question, but he's asking a different question because he's saying his wife hasn't made a will, but then he's saying if he predeceases her. If he predeceases her, we need to deal with his estate.
Yes, yeah.
So the question isn't whether his wife has made a will, the question is whether he's made a will or not.
Yeah, he says, if I predecease her, how will my estate be shared out? That should be in his will, surely.
It depends on whether he's made a will or not.
Yeah.
This is my point. Because if he predeceases her and he hasn't made a will,
mm-hmm.
well, then there are certain rules that will apply.
Okay.
If he has made a will, well, then there's different rules that will apply. So he's talking about his wife not having made a will, but he hasn't actually told us whether or not.
Yeah.
He has made a will.
Sounds similar to the last question, if you ask me, but then again.
But his spouse will get 2/3 of the estate if there's no valid will and there's children.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
1/3 of the estate if there is a valid will and children.
Yeah. You know, the way, for instance, like, I don't know if I'm going off track or not, but if a husband and wife leave the house to their kids and they both sort of die, and there's three, four kids, and they each have an equal share, and say there's three kids and two out of three want to sell the house, they'd have the heavy vote, and they could sell the other child, couldn't they? Or could they?
The majority would generally take effect there, the majority rule, but then it depends on who the executor is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the executor in that estate is the one person who doesn't want to sell the house, well, then there may be a different fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the executor has a duty to administer the estate as they see fit and to maximise the profit of it. So let's rewind 5 or 6 years ago when the property market was on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and the two children want to sell the property. And so you want to sell mom and dad's house and get our money. And the executor says, well, no, the market's on the rise and this is the lowest ebb of the market. And mm-hmm. I don't think that I am operating my duty of care as an executor properly if I sell this property at the very, very bottom of the market.
So I'm trying to think of hidden questions. Sorry, go on. Yeah, I'm trying to think of hidden questions sometimes in there, because I'm just wondering, for instance, if husband and wife, and they don't make a will, and say the husband dies first and then the wife dies. No, sorry, the husband dies and then there's the wife and the four kids. So that means the five of them. What way it's, you know, in this, how it would be shared out.
Give me that so again, she, Noel, I missed it there.
Say husband and wife, four kids. Yep. I'm trying to work out a question in a question here. And the husband dies and he's left his estate. And just let's say, for instance, it's just a house. That's worth it's worth $500,000. So
okay,
the so wife would get two, she get 2/3, would she? Yeah, she'd get 2/3, would she automatically?
Has he got a will or has he not got a will?
He hasn't got a will.
Okay, so there's no will and there's children.
Four children and a wife, yeah.
Okay. So the wife gets 2/3 of the estate and the children get 1/3.
Okay, so they couldn't...
Okay,
no, I'm just thinking that the four kids couldn't gang up on her and say, we want to sell the house.
No, they'd only have 1/3 and she'd have 2/3.
Okay.
It doesn't really happen. That's not to say it can't happen, but it doesn't really happen.
Well, you know what they say, where there's a will, there's an argument, Fintan.
Sorry?
Where there's a will, there's dissension.
Or where there's a will, there's a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can happen. But that's why the will is important, because he makes a will and he says, I'm giving the house to my wife until she dies, and thereafter I'm going to give it to my children in equal shares, and it is my wish that she shall remain there for her lifetime and the remainder of her life, at which time the property can be sold after her death. That sort of language can be used. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of giving an instruction to the family that this is what you want to happen, and this is your wishes.
Okay. Well, listen, I have more, but I've taken up enough of your time, so I can hear your stomach rumbling there, Fintan. It's time for lunch.
That time of the day.
It's that time of the day. So I'll hold off on the next one, because the next one is really, really interesting, and I'd say it would take a little bit of time. It's been great talking to you again anyway, and I hope to be talking to you again sooner rather than later and get answers to these questions. And I hope I don't complicate it too much for you.
Not at all. No, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Fintan. Give us your website again there before you go.
www.lawlapartners.ie.
Okay, and get out there and make your will or update it. Thank you very much, Fintan.
Thanks, Noel. Take care.
Bye bye. And that's Fintan Lawler, solicitors with Lawler and Partners.